Okay, so welcome back to another edition of Real Talk, Real People, Candid Conversation. This is our episode, Living Your Best Life with Caroline and AJ. I have AJ here beside me. How you doing, honey?
What's up, honey?
I'm doing good.
Back
to doing it again. Because we just always living our best life. We just got finished with a very good wedding. Our son got married.
Amazing, right?
It was thrilling, exciting, and I was just in heaven. I also officiated the wedding, so I had double duty.
Absolutely.
It was amazing. Amazing. This is how the Joneses live their best life.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
But more importantly, we got another one out.
That's right.
Another one's gone.
That's right. Both of our children, our daughter and our son, are married now.
Listen, we love y'all. Don't take this. We love you.
It's okay. You know, we're doing good as parents when we can get our children married. Okay, so we got our grandson living with us, so we're going to have to, you know, wait a little while before we do a real big celebration because, you know,
absolutely.
Once we get him married, because we got a long time before Naomi gets married, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, but we have the pleasure, speaking of Naomi, of having a very special guest here today, Mr. Bernard Robinson.
Wow.
Who just happens to be Naomi's
uncle.
Yes, I am.
Hey, what's happening?
Hello, how are you? I'm well.
I'm well.
And he came all the way in from New York to come hang out with us.
That's right. That's right. He was traveling. He came here so we could do this in person.
Yes.
And we are in a great little vibe place here. We're in Al's studio today. We're not no longer in my little hutch. We're in Al's studio. He invited us into his studio. So, you know, we special.
Absolutely.
We special. So, you know what, Bernard? Since you did not send me a bio, you have the honor of telling us about yourself.
Okay.
What's going on, sir? What's going on?
I'm good. I didn't know I was supposed to send a bio, but
it's okay.
I'll type something up next time. it's great to be here. I appreciate, you know, the invite. You know, I'm honored to be Naomi's uncle.
Yes, yes.
That's a hard act to follow, that young lady, I must say.
She's rough.
Yeah. But let's see. If I had a bio, it would say this. It would probably say, born and raised in Brooklyn, the oldest of three brothers. You know the other two.
Yes.
One very well.
Naomi's daddy.
Yes. I started, you know, listen, in my early days, I was in the music as well.
Okay,
In the rap scene and did a lot of work in the underground hip-hop scene in the early 90s with my brother. Got into healthcare, which is my profession right now. My father is a retired EMS lieutenant, and I kind of fell into the family business.
I didn't have a choice.
I will say I did not have a choice. I was out of high school. He said, you're going to do something. You're not sitting around here.
Right on.
Sign me up for an EMT class. I kind of went kicking and screaming because I did not want to deal with nobody's blood, none of that stuff.
That's me.
But I got into the field. I loved it, and you know, I still love the field. I'm now in administration, so it's different. I'm not on the ambulance anymore, but you can't replace the memories and the experience that I had working out there, for sure.
Okay.
Right now, I'm in school still, and a forever student, as my wife would say.
I thought you were teaching, so you're actually a student.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with being a forever student.
Okay. Forever student. That's right. I'm completing my doctorate right now in strategic leadership.
Get out of here.
Beautiful.
So by this time next year, I should be Dr. Robinson.
Okay, another doctor
in the
house.
Another doctor in the family? Whoa,
Look at us moving up in the world.
Listen, I'm going to keep my little bachelor's I got in 2023. I'm happy. It took me 23 years to get that bad boy.
I heard that story. Congratulations, man. Listen, I got mine. I got my bachelor's at 47, you know.
Know what I'm saying.
Yeah. It is
absolutely.
Never too late.
It's not. And I think a lot of people psych themselves out by thinking it's too late. Thankfully, I never had that problem.
No.
Yeah. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it.
Absolutely.
But what else can I say bio-wise?
You're talking about your family.
Yes. I'm getting to them.
Okay. Because I don't want your mama calling me saying, what about us?
Yes, let me run that down. All right. So mom and dad is still in Brooklyn. Like I say, he's a retired EMS lieutenant. She is a retired New York City public school teacher. A lot of the time when she was in school to become a teacher, I was... I was her experiment. So,
okay.
So my childhood was a lot of after school homework assignments from mom and a lot of those black binders.
Oh,
you do these math problems before you can go outside. So I was, because of that, I did well in school.
Good.
You know,
good.
Thanks to that. And yeah, they pushed us. They pushed me to, you know, keep going and just pursue what you want to pursue.
But you also had the curse of being the oldest.
Exactly.
So if you're the oldest, they putting that heat on you.
Oh, yeah. My brothers have no idea what I went through. They, you know, every oldest says that, but I can tell you they got softer and softer.
Yeah, I was a middle child, so I know.
Exactly.
I didn't have that stress.
I'm sure that's true.
It has to be true.
Definitely. But and now I have my own, you know, family of my own. My wife's been married 26 years. This will be 26 years in May.
Okay. We're May also.
We're
what
May
day?
Also.
May 23rd.
We're May 26th.
All right,
look at that.
We're
okay. Connected. I knew we
I like that.
From when I met you at the wedding, I said, I like this guy. I like his vibe. I do. Yeah, I'm
high energy, man. I can't help
absolutely.
It.
Same here. I can't sit still. I've been hearing that all my life. Why don't you sit down? You're always standing, always moving around. Right. I just can never sit still.
Tell them this is, I'm going to give you the line. This is the line. I am going to sit down
when
I
I'm
die.
Dead. Yeah.
Okay.
Much, right?
As long as I've got breath, we're going to keep it moving.
Something got to be done.
When I die, then y'all can come and hang out with me.
That's right. So my wife and I have two boys together, 25 and 23.
Okay. Okay.
Everybody's, you know, out of school, finished with college, and in their rightful professions. My youngest is in finance. My oldest is in healthcare.
Okay.
Okay.
You know, and there we're waiting for them to get out the house. We were talking about that earlier.
Yes.
We're waiting. They're looking. My youngest is actively. They're actually both actively looking. Mm-hmm. My youngest is looking in New Jersey.
We'll welcome him.
Close.
We'll welcome him. Yeah,
he's getting close. We have some good friends out here as well.
Yes.
To keep an eye on him. But
plus his Uncle Basui's
exactly.
Out here.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And he'll start to learn the lay of the land. And you know, any access and help we can give, we'll definitely provide that.
Absolutely. Yeah. We appreciate.
No, that's what family do, man.
Exactly what family do. Yeah,
I have very close ties to my church. I serve in the ministry. Did a lot of work with the young adults.
Okay.
My wife and I actually started what is now the young adult ministry about 12 years ago, and now it's just, you know, grown. The church is doing well, and you know, excited about that. I like to
that's
teach.
That's y'all. Like look
that.
At y'all.
Yeah, so
y'all
that's
connected.
A very, very big part of who I am. Never expected that to be part of my life.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, my
yes.
backstory, I didn't want nothing to do with the church, none of that.
I hear
so,
you.
But, you know, that's how God works. He uses the knuckleheads. So.
I love it because you don't need all the saints.
Yeah.
You need the sinners to come through that door to make effect change.
And I'm a proud member of Generation X.
We don't hate on it. Each generation thinks we're all the best.
Yes.
You know, as a baby boomer.
Yeah,
you know,
I was
of course
say,
I'm
gonna
talk crap
baby
about
boomer,
y'all.
So you know what I'm saying? We're gonna talk about generation
okay
X, you know what I'm saying?
Because the generation in front of us look at us and be like, hey, y'all chumps.
Yeah.
And when they say that to you, this is I'll give you another one. When they say something about your generation, you look them straight in the eye and you go, and y'all did that to us. There you go. So if you don't like me, it's your fault.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, dealing with the generation after us is definitely challenging.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
They have a whole different mindset and thoughts and philosophies.
But as well they should, though, right?
Yeah, everybody has a chance.
Because the world has evolved. Mm-hmm. They're the technology generation. That mm-hmm. wasn't us.
Mm-hmm.
We started coming into that, but they grew up with it.
Yeah.
So you can't expect them to be like us.
That's
yeah,
right.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
And it's okay, but we can't have them go off the rails either.
Right. You got to, but you also got to respect their,
yes.
you know, everyone has to respect
exactly.
each other's intricacies and things of that nature.
Every generation has their time to be who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have a right to bully any generation.
Oh, definitely.
Because we all have our time.
Absolutely.
I agree with that. Definitely. You know, raising two of them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
you're going to learn or they're going to fade.
Yeah. You know, I never knew how much I didn't know about life till I had children to tell me you don't know what you're talking about.
Well, there you have it.
I never thought I would be to the point where I would say I cannot listen to this rap music you guys are playing, but I've had those conversations. Listen, I'm hip hop all day.
Yes,
we grew
know,
up with that. Yep.
Yes, so
it was different. The music was different. Hip hop was different.
Yes.
True.
We had this conversation yesterday. I think
we
about
we
that.
We had it yesterday
because we are hip hop.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
We looked them in the eyes and told them. I said, "You think you guys are the hip hop generation?
No.
I said, no, you're not. We are the. We
that's
grew
right.
up with Sugar Hill and
mm-hmm.
you
right.
know and Big Daddy Kane and Grandmaster Caz.
Okay. the legends in this game.
So y'all are the beneficiaries of it, but it's a connected thread that goes through all of our lives.
Definitely.
Like our parents had Motown that translated through us.
Yeah.
And my generation got Earth, Wind & Fire, the P-Funk. Yes, so, you know, so it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do want to say this because I like what you said, that when we met at the wedding, that was the first time I got a chance to meet you. And, you know, we're there for this momentous day. So our daughter's getting married, so, you know, we over the damn moon.
Yes.
And you're watching your baby brother taking that plunge. So we had a shared vision inside of that moment. And that was a pandemic wedding.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Because they got married around Labor Day of 2020.
Yes, 2020.
And the pandemic hit in March.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And being that you were this... person in the health field industry and going through what you were going through, I know you had an incredible pandemic episode, not just trying to be the leader of a group to get folks well, but you had a situation that you need to talk a little bit about that so people can really understand you.
Yeah, definitely. 2020, my birthday's in March, right? Mm-hmm. So for my 50th that year, my wife and I went to Jamaica. It was great. And we, you know, you're watching the news still because the pandemic stuff was starting to pick up steam. It was really, really starting to get. So we were like, oh, man, we might have to leave soon or leave early, cut the trip short.
Yeah.
We didn't. Had a great time. Came home. I went back to work. Around that Tuesday. So you got to understand, I ran an emergency medical service department for a large health system. And it took like over 1,000 EMTs and paramedics and first responders. And we were in the thick of everything.
Of course.
On the front line.
Mm-hmm.
So they shut down all administrative activities, basically. And everything went to start, you know, Zoom meetings or Microsoft Teams. Everything was virtual.
Virtual.
Mm-hmm. All meetings in person was shut down. A lot of administrative tasks were done. So me, I'm a paramedic by nature. So I said, all right, well, I'm going to go out on the road with the troops and support them and lead, be a good leader.
Because
I would never ask my guys to go into something I wouldn't go into, and you have to show them that.
Love
you
that.
Know? So I did that, end up getting COVID that week. I knew it. I went to one of the hospitals in Forest Hills, which was the epicenter, and what I saw in the ER was just...
chaos.
Can't explain. Everyone was on a vent or just coughing uncontrollably, bodies everywhere, you know, and you could just see it. Something is not right. And I just had a feeling. I said, I think I got exposed to this.
Because
I was helping move patients and probably didn't have my eye shield on or something. I know something.
Yes.
But I told my wife, I'm going to go in the basement for a couple days just to see what happens. Long story short, I ended up getting really sick. I got that. Original 2020 COVID.
Yes.
That uncut. They didn't know anything about it.
They didn't know about it.
That hardcore put you on a vent COVID. Thank God I didn't have to go on a vent, but my numbers would have justified me going on a vent.
Okay.
I got hospitalized twice, admitted to the hospital with double pneumonia. I was out. I was just out of it, like really bad. I remember one night I sent a text to my pastor. He's my guy too. Like, he's, you know, we're cool like that. So I sent a text to him and three other of my friends that, you know, I know from church, we're close with. And I was just like, hey, guys, this thing is trying to kill me.
Yes.
I don't know what's going on. Please pray for me. I kid you not. That next morning is when I went to the hospital the second time, stayed for a week in a COVID wing. Thankfully, it worked out. I got discharged on Easter of 2020.
Okay.
And, you know, got back to it. And that story actually got picked up, you know, like nationally. It was like a well-publicized story.
Yeah. I think I
saw a piece. Yeah. That's why I said, you know, because you're in the health field industry, you know, when COVID hit, us lay folks, we seen SARS, we done seen Legionnaires, you know. Ain't none of us around for the Black Plague, so this ain't no big deal.
Had swine flu.
But you being in the health field industry, in the thick of it, and I think you said something pivotal. When you walked into that ER, like, we have no clue what you're talking about. When you paint that picture, we don't see that.
Right.
So you knew how grave and how grave this was, and the fact that you were going through it. Now you had to be treated by the industry that you are serving.
Exactly.
And, you know, thankfully, you're sitting here with us, so you can't do this thing.
You don't know how to appreciate the little things in life until you can't breathe.
There you
go. Exactly.
And every breath I took felt like cement was in my chest, and I could only breathe in so much. And I like, if this gets any shorter, I'm going to pass out.
Yes.
And I still do this. I get in the car start the car and take a deep breath and just like, thank you.
That's right.
Pain-free breath.
That's right.
So I grew up with severe asthma as a child.
So you kind
of, this was the one that got me. I lived in front of a park. So I go out my back window, huge park in Spring Valley, New York. I'm in the house. All my friends outside playing. I'm in the house stuck. So like you with your parents pushing you, I was the reader. I read everything in sight. So I read everything. So while my friends outside playing, being athletic, I'm the kid inside of sucking in all that knowledge.
Yeah.
So we're just happy you came through that. So I just wanted to make sure we get that, because I want people to understand that is a part of your journey. So I just wanted to make sure we talk about that.
Yeah. And just to that, the tough part about that is during that time, they weren't letting people ride in the ambulance with family members. And for a lot of people, that was the last time they would see their family members.
Yeah.
And my staff knew this.
Yes.
So that adds to your burnout. Like, you know what situation you're in the middle of.
Yes. Yeah.
And I remember when I got carried away in the ambulance, you know, and see him, and my guys, my two sons and my wife, they're on the curb watching.
Watching you pull away.
You know what I mean? Like, that stuff like that really hits.
Exactly.
You know, it really makes you think.
Yeah, man.
It was deep.
Good.
I know it was. I was nowhere near that. I got COVID too and had to go to the hospital, but only because of dehydration.
Mm-hmm.
I had got severely dehydrated, and my doctor was on the phone with me, and she was getting my report every like 10 minutes or so. Mm-hmm. And she says, I'm going to need you now to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
Al had been bringing me water, bringing me electrolytes, bringing me stuff, but it wasn't working.
Did so you lose the taste and all that?
I don't think so. Mm-mm. It was I was just weak.
Okay.
I was just weak. I was weak and just weak. And
let me give you the male selfish part of this story. So, of course, it hit me first. We went the whole time, never had a problem. It hit me, and I kind of just thought I was a little sick. I had my Scully on, my jacket on. I'm in the bed under the covers. And that's when she tested me and realized I got it. Then she got it the next day. Mine was a Wednesday. She was a Thursday. Friday, now this is the selfish male part of me. I am not a big baseball fan.
Okay.
I'm just big enough to follow my team and keep up because I'm a sports guy. Friday, her doctor says, you got to go to the emergency room right now. Oh, I got the TV on. It's game one of the World Series. I'm sitting there getting ready to watch the World Series, and we got to back everything up and take her to the hospital.
Oh, man.
And we didn't get out of there until after midnight.
Yeah, because I was in there for it. They had an IV influencing me for a while. They had me in the wing.
You're talking to a medical man. You know all this stuff.
So it was like, I was fine. I wasn't fine, but I didn't think I needed to go to the hospital, but I was getting weaker and weaker and weaker. Yeah. And she was like, you're probably dehydrated. I'm going to need you to go to the hospital. They said, when you get there, tell them that your doctor, give them my name, is sending you here for an IV treatment because you're dehydrated.
Okay.
And I said, okay. And they didn't ask no questions. They took me in the wing. They put me down. They did an EKG. They saw that. What did they say? Something. My heart was.
I don't do the hospital thing. You know,
my heart rate was low or something like that. So they just put an IV in me. I stayed there for like 4 hours.
So let's change some gears here.
Yeah.
Sure. We went down the whole health thing.
Well, health is important.
No, health is always important.
You can't live your best life unless you're healthy.
Unless you're healthy. Yeah. But I wanted to reference that because now we got to this point of going from there where it could have been a whole different conversation.
Yes.
Especially when you're talking about that long COVID that happens after that. Mm-hmm. But you said you were born in Brooklyn.
Yes.
And so you have remained in the state of New York. What keeps you in New York State?
Well, I mean, funny story. A few years ago, I was thinking about leaving New York. And I'm talking to a guy at work. And he says to me, plain and simple, if this is the Big Apple, if you can't make it here, you can't make it anywhere. And I was like, man, you just shut my whole dreams down.
Okay,
I guess I'm staying here. Challenged me. Honestly, when it comes to the city, right, there's no greater city than New York.
No greater.
I will not deny that.
Absolutely.
I'm at a point now where leaving New York's not off the table. My wife and I have been traveling a lot lately and visited friends in Charlotte, been to Texas, Virginia all the time. Like, there's a lot of places that we wouldn't mind relocating to if the opportunity was right.
Okay.
And now with two, we're about to be empty nesters in a very, very short amount of time.
Yes.
There's not much to really stop us now. But in those earlier, like in our 20s and our 30s,
we ain't leaving.
We're not leaving New York.
Yes.
We can't. This is it. This is the mecca of everything,
there's
right?
No
healthcare,
vibe,
finance, whatever you want to do.
Yes.
you got to go for it. You're going to go for it in New York.
Okay. And, okay. Yeah,
we want to leave it.
I like that. Yeah. I
was born in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
That's my, all right. That's my claim to fame.
No, I like you.
What were you there for? All about 15 minutes?
All of about 2 years. We moved to Teaneck when I was two. I don't know nothing about Brooklyn, but I have to say I was born in Brooklyn.
I always tell them, Bernard, whenever you're at a party, what's the first thing they shout out?
Yeah, it's Brooklyn in the house.
And she won't get up. I'm like, you better get up, girl. You got to represent. You better get up.
I feel like an imposter. I don't know anything about Brooklyn.
But they don't know that.
Right?
And you're legit. You were born there. You better get up and represent.
I was legitimately born in Brooklyn. Yes, I was.
That's my oldest son. He was born in Downstate Hospital in Brooklyn.
Okay.
We had already bought a house in Long Island. Yeah. So we went from discharge out the hospital straight to the house in Long Island.
Okay, so
he's a Brooklynite for about, about a day.
So he was born in Brooklyn, too.
But he lives in Long Island.
But he's straight to Long Island.
Okay.
Exactly.
Now, I know, you know, because PSC&G, the company I retired from, thank you, folks. I appreciate what y'all did. They got the contract to run LIPA, so they took over the Long Island, and I got a chance to go out to the Melville location. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you something, bro. I wish I had a jet, or I had a helicopter or something. Now I understand why they call it Long Island.
Oh, that commute.
And wait a minute. That ain't even far Long Island.
Oh, no, that's like the halfway.
Point,
if that, yes.
I was like, if they offered me like the greatest job in the company over there, I'd tell them no.
Yeah.
Because that traffic getting there that morning was nuclear.
Listen, I used to, when I was the Eastern Region manager for where I worked, I had to go out to Riverhead, Long Island. That's the, Riverhead's the end.
At the end.
The end of the LIE.
Where you can look up and see Maine from where you stand.
Yeah, exactly. It's cows, it's farms. And I used to have to make that drive a couple of times a week.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's like an hour and a half, almost 2 hour ride, driving out to the Hamptons sometimes. It's, Long Island's big.
Yes.
Like, people big, big.
Like, we think of Manhattan, like, Long Island is huge.
Yeah.
So, and I also found out about Long Island that... I thought Long Island, you know, like you represent Manhattan, you represent the Bronx, you know, Harlem. There are sections of Long Island.
Oh, yeah.
Like the East, don't like the West.
Yeah.
The Central.
The North Shore and the South Shore.
I said, for real?
Yeah.
That's how big Long Island is. That's how crazy it is. So I got a rapid education that day, and I came back home, and I had a whole new appreciation for that borough, if you will.
Yeah. Long Island's definitely a little different.
Okay.
But congrats to you, too. Listen, I heard about the retirement. I love to hear those stories when people retire and are able to enjoy life.
Yes.
Because far too many times you see people who just, you know, they retire and that's it, and you never hear from them again, if they're even lucky enough to make it to that point.
Yes.
So that is huge.
Yeah, man.
And I know... I heard the part where, you know, the manager, whoever, kind of, your last day was basically your last, like a last work day.
Yep.
I hate to hear that, but I understand that because that's corporate. That's just, you know, it's just a reminder that, like, kind of like you said, you can be replaced as soon as they slide your name off the door. Not even thanks for 40 years or all you did. And that.
And I get it with him because if it had been the manager previous to him, I'm telling you, we'd have came in, they'd have had decoration, the whole place would have been crazy. And I kind of walked in with that mindset because, you know, like I said, you know your worth. So I know what I'm worth. I know what I bring to the table.
Yeah.
And when I walked in, looked around, I said, all right, it's cool. I got it. So that means I ain't going to stay and hang out with y'all. All we're going to do, make my round, see what I got to see. Yeah. Then I'm out.
And then you did your thing with your
people. Yeah. And I actually invited him, you know.
Okay.
And if he'd have came, I would have roasted him. Right there in the room on the spot.
You got nothing to lose.
Oh, but he know me anyway. She'll tell you. Tell him how you always said about me. I would come home from work and tell you some of the stories of the things that I did. Mm-hmm. What was your line about me?
I don't remember.
About, I don't know how you keep the
job. Well, I don't know how you keep the job. Everybody knows that. Because everybody knows Al Jones.
Because my attitude, like a lot of people would wait till they got bulletproof, where they met the terms, where they could retire and they couldn't take nothing from you. My very first day in the company, I was going to get in a fist fight with the guy that was teaching me. Oh, I came through the door like I was hot when I came through the door.
Right.
So I've carried that personality over there. Not trying to be, you know, disruptive of all that, but you are going to respect me. That was really my whole thing. It was about respect. I'm not trying to be the big dog. I'm not trying, but you're going to understand who I am. You're going to walk to me the right way, and I'm going to walk to you the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And the crazy thing about that is when people see that in you, and I see that in you. I definitely see that. You talk about this leadership. Now you're trying to go get a doctorate in there. there's a DNA thing that burns inside you to be that person, whether you're trying or not. Mm-hmm. And all my cats, when I crossed over, I was in the union for 20 years. And when I left them to go into management, do you know what they said to me? They said, AJ, why are you abandoning us? Because I was the quiet ringleader of the group.
Right, right, right.
So I see that in you too.
So I've been reading a lot because, you know, I see all the stuff that come on because I think you're my Facebook friend too. Mm-hmm. So I see a lot of stuff coming in through you. You won some awards. Mm-hmm.
Marshal of the Daggone Parade. What parade was that?
So let's talk about that because that's like, that's a really big deal to me.
Yeah. I did a lot of community work. That was a thing I'm passionate about is community relations, community outreach. And I, you know, working for a big system, there are a lot of communities that, you know, we should be serving that we don't serve. Yes. And things of that nature. Yes. And you hear about healthcare disparities. And hear about the how the black maternal mortality rate is higher, 5 times higher than white women when they're given
birth. I didn't even realize that.
And that's a real thing.
That's a thing. Yeah.
How is that even a thing in 2024?
Yes.
So stuff like that burns in me. And I think I started to get a little outspoken.
Sound like the Al Jones. Well,
about like, why? How could this even exist?
Yes, in this day and age.
Right. And so I did a lot of community work. I started youth programs. That one's been going for like 12 years now with the Explorers.
Okay.
I started like a mini EMS camp for kids. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of clothing drives, food, anything to make the health system a part of the community that we serve. Because I always say that if you're going to operate in a community, you got to add value to it and not just be...
Don't take.
Yes, exactly.
100%.
So we started giving away turkeys. I mean, we were just doing a lot of crazy... A lot of good things.
A lot of good things for
And I'm talking all over the city and Long Island as well.
Okay.
So after years of that, then the recognition started probably 4 years ago, let's see. Really, this person recognized you, I get this award, you get that award, and it just started really, really picking up steam. I made a lot of good friends in the public relations department for the health system, and they would put me in things and just really, really snowballed. And then about two years ago, I think, I was the one of the grand marshals for the African American Day Parade in Harlem.
Wait, I want you to say that again. Mm-hmm. Say it.
I was one of the grand marshals for the African American Day Parade in Harlem.
Oh, we gotta clap that up.
We definitely gonna clap that up.
Listen, man,
that was
up on the big float rolling down the street. Man, come on, man, that ain't no everyday occurrence.
No, it's not.
I hung out with Eric Adams, Al Sharpton. That to me, I still look at the pictures. I'm like, this is crazy.
That's it. Yeah.
I mean, from where you come from, Clayton Powell,
to where you going? Yeah.
And it was beautiful. Weather was perfect, and there's thousands of people. Yeah, drama, and they hand me the mic to like rally up. I'm like, what is this? I'm handing the mic to Al Sharpton. That is crazy to me. But that was definitely a highlight of highlights, and I got to walk in the parade with Sandra Lindsay, who's the nurse that was the first person to get the vaccine.
Oh yes, I remember her.
Yeah, that's right. So
she was that sister.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sweet woman. So she and I got really cool.
Okay.
Going to different events and being at things and just. So she's a really, really, really good people. But yeah, just that was huge. That's a huge career highlight. Just being a grand marshal of that parade.
Okay. Okay.
You know, here's how I got in that parade. 2 years prior, I've been asking for years, my boss at the time, why aren't we in this parade in Harlem? We serve Upper Manhattan.
Okay.
Why aren't we in it? We're in all the other parades. You know what I'm saying? So why are we in this parade? No answer. So when I got promoted to a position where I had a little leverage, I signed us up. I said, I'm just going to sign up my department. And then somebody said to me, why don't you just run it by community relations as a courtesy? You don't want to kind of
step on their
right.
Okay.
So
okay.
I did that, got it to the right person who was like, yo, we're on it. They supported us that first year. And then it just, about 2 years later is when we kept growing our presence, you know, in the parade.
Okay.
So that third year, the health system became a major sponsor of the parade. And it was like a, you know, big thing. So, you know, persistence. I was like, why aren't we in the African American?
That's right.
No, I love it. I love it. That's how you get your footprint out there. I wanted to, you know, just take a quick zigzag because it just hit me just now. Since you in the EMT system, 9/11, where were you and what were you doing at that time?
So 9/11, my boys were toddlers. We were living in Suffolk County. And I was working the overnight. I did a lot of years in the overnights.
Okay.
So just throw that out there. So I did the overnight, came home. What I would do is come home. I would go to bed. My wife would watch the boys, let me get some sleep. I'm laying down, she wakes me up. A plane just hit the World Trade Center. I'm like, all right, it probably was an accident or something. Mm-hmm. You know, went back. I'm groggy. I go back to sleep. She comes back. Another plane just hit the... I'm like, wait, what? All right, that's intentional.
Yeah.
So now I'm sitting up, I'm watching, and then at that time we had pagers. I'm just gonna date myself. So yeah. we got page. Okay. Oh, everybody come back in.
Yes, I was wondering.
And,
okay.
Yeah, so I went back in, and I went back to work. I was there for a week straight. My wife, very, very little communication because the cell phones weren't really working.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I spent a week basically at work. Went down to that first day, got sent to Ground Zero. Here's the thing, though. By the time I got to Ground Zero, you expect to see, you know, pandemonium, mm-hmm. but everything had kind of fell. It was just
dead silence.
And that freaked me out a little bit. Okay. Like, wow. Okay. And, you know, we were staged, a few yards away from the pile. And it was just silence. And that kind of was like, kind of
eerie.
Knew.
Yeah.
It was, the silence was probably worse than... The chaos to me, because it was just an ominous sign.
Which you never hear in New York City
at
that time of day. It's never quiet.
Yeah.
Everyone was in shock.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I know being in the healthcare system and being an EMT type on that, you had to be like a frontline responder.
Right. Mm-hmm. So then we were at Chelsea Piers. That's where we were stationed. Okay. I brought a bunch of equipment down there and some surgeons, and they were all, everyone was set up waiting in this makeshift operating room.
So it's like
Chelsea
a triage center.
Yeah. And everybody's just waiting, and no patients were coming. So we stayed there through the night, and then I just spent the rest of the week kind of picking up the other stuff, because the operation still has to run.
Yes.
There are still calls that need to be done.
Yes, yes.
So you kind of operate in this massive mass casualty incident, but you got to keep everything else
going
around. The rest
of the operation. Okay.
Right.
I didn't even
continuity,
think of that.
Continuity, right?
Yes.
Business continuity.
Okay.
So that was, you know, it was just a long week. I remember my church, people would call, check on my wife. They knew that she was home, two small kids. So I appreciated that they called, they looked out for her. So that was my 911, 9/11 kind of experience.
I'm glad because I wanted to, you know, I'm sitting here, I'm doing the math now. I'm like, okay, 20, 50, okay.
I was
I'm
around.
Trying to think where he's at. It's grateful to hear that because, even my company across the river, we kind of hit that Jersey City area and tried to help stage stuff across the river that way. So I wasn't involved with that. I was not one of those front responders, but like you said, now we have to keep the rest of the operation going because the country shut down.
Right.
And it ain't been the same since.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That was me.
So when you hear living your best life,
yes,
what does that mean to you?
That means coming over and hanging out with the Joneses.
You
come
know
on.
Know that. You know that. I'm doing it right now.
Well, other than the obvious.
Yes.
Other than the obvious.
Yes, yes. Okay. When I hear living my best life, that's something that's kind of new to me, honestly, because I didn't know what that, I don't even heard that really till a couple years ago. And, I'm going to say I was a workaholic, but I used to work. I was a workaholic.
I can see that.
I'm not going to lie. Yeah. I got that from my pops. Like we all got that. All the three of us, you know, you never see us without a job or two jobs or three.
We already know Basui's a workaholic.
Yeah. Like, and once my boys got older, I realized I was missing certain things, missing sporting games, or I didn't miss a lot of them, but I missed enough that it bothered me sometimes.
Okay.
And I realized, all right, maybe I'm doing too much, as my wife would say.
You're doing too much.
You're doing the most. So
we like to say that too.
Yeah. But it got to a point where something had to change. And I'm like, I'm not really enjoying life the way I should. I have a lot of good stuff. I have a great family. You know what I mean? The career is going well, but am I enjoying it? Not really, because I'm on the phone all day. I would go on vacation and be on my computer answering emails most of the time, and I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Yes.
On my phone.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was like, this is not the way this is supposed to be.
Yes.
And something just clicked, and I'm like, you know what? I need to learn to enjoy life.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Had a little health scare a while back. Not COVID.
Okay.
You know, something else, my heart, whatever. All good now.
You okay?
But that was another thing, like, yo, Life is short.
Yes, it's very short.
You need to enjoy your time here.
Yep.
Exactly.
And I've seen too many people live miserably, die miserably. Yeah. That is not going to be my story.
Okay.
And
okay.
I'm determined. And I'm also, I like fun.
You do. Yep.
I'm a class clown by nature.
Well, that's another thing you have in common with Mr. Jones.
And that has stayed with me throughout my life. You know, we're gonna laugh. You know,
people live a good life.
Yeah. So I just wanted to make sure it was genuine, and I'm really right now. I must say, I'm actually in a stage where I'm actually enjoying life and living my best life.
Good.
It took a change in my career. I actually don't work where I used to work anymore.
Okay.
And I think that was a big catalyst. For make this big change and kind of I'll control my time, work-life balance. I'm going to control that. So, I'm in a good phase with that as far as living
good.
Life.
Absolutely. Now, what advice would you give to another individual who is trying their best to enjoy life but still is overwhelmed with what they need to do in life? Because sometimes we feel like, I have to go to work. How am I support my family? I have to do this. I have to do that. What advice do you give someone who is not necessarily living their best possible life?
No, that's a great question. Yeah. And you know, I can relate to that. That
from what you went through.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You have to make yourself the priority.
Ooh, man. That's
take care
gold.
Of you. You know what I mean? And everything else will kind of start to fall into place. But you have to be the priority. You know, life is gonna be there. That bill is gonna be there.
Yeah.
You work all to knock off that pay that bill, pay these bills.
Yep.
I'm not saying don't pay your bills.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is I used to live a life for that. You know,
yes.
I got to pay this. I got, you know, and that check to check kind of thing.
Yes.
And, you know, you get paid, you pay your bills. Now you don't have anything left for you.
To enjoy, yes.
You know, and that's what I call our struggle phase, right? Right now we went through I tell all my young couples and young people, you're going
to
go through the struggle
you
phase.
You have to.
Yeah.
That's like your 20s and mid-20s. You got to go through that. That's part of life.
Thank
you. But the struggle phase can't be permanent.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to always find a way to position yourself for the next move. And, you know, and I tell people all the time, life is play chess, not checkers. Stop doing the short hops. And let's look down, your next 3 or 4 moves.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to do this job for this long. What's next?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And how do I get there?
Okay.
You should always be building up to the next level. We always talk about the next level, but we don't do a lot to get to it. You have to actually take action.
I love it.
And towards that to get there.
Okay.
Love it. I love it. And those are jewels right there, because sometimes in life it's okay to take a lateral, but you can't take laterals for the whole part of your life. And I'll never forget when I left my manager when I got my first supervisor job. And matter of fact, we was going to Toronto. We was in the airport. And he walked me. He says, come take a walk with me. Get some coffee. He says, I hear you're in the running for a position. I said, well, yeah. He looked at me and he said, why? I thought you were happy here. Why would you leave? And I was. I was happy. Mm-hmm. She'll tell you. I was having a ball. And I said, well, it's a promotion. He said, it's a promotion? He said, I thought it was a lateral. I said, no, this is. He said, never mind. Conversation over.
Okay.
That was the end of
That's
the conversation.
Good. Well, at least
he said, if
it.
You get the job, he said, do me a favor. He said, call me, because I don't want nobody else hearing about it, because I want to get the team together so we can tell them together.
Excellent.
And of course, I ended up getting the job, and
See?
That's what happened. But I appreciate that. And even to this day, he's another one who's still, I'm connected to, because it's what you're saying. When they see that you have opportunities to do something, they don't hold you back.
Mm-hmm.
They see that you have some sort of plan and they push you and let you go. A lot of us don't plan a career. I tell people, after you're at a job, if you're staying in the same company, if you're there 5 years, it's no longer a job. This is your career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now you need to start planning what you're doing.
What are you going
to
do? You got to be moving,
Okay, I like that. Yeah, man.
All right. So what do you and the wife do for fun?
Team Robinson?
Team Robinson.
Team Robinson. What do Team Robinson do for fun? Because, that's another thing.
Mm.
You have to make time for your spouse.
Yes.
It can't be all about the children, all about, One of the things that we initiated was our monthly date nights, and I am so grateful for it.
Yes.
What do you and wifey do?
Date night, definitely. That was a big one, especially when the boys were smaller, the men. When they were smaller, you have to make that time.
Yeah, because it could be all about the kids without you realizing it.
Yeah.
I've seen this a few times where people, they were all in on the children, And then when the children got to that, you know, 16, 17, 18, now you're two married people, but you're strangers because you don't know each other.
I love
exactly.
that.
Like, who are you? Yep. You know, so
are y'all listening? These are jewels he's dropping here.
Exactly. Pay attention, folks.
So when it comes to your spouse, partner, you definitely, especially when you have children, we say this all the time now, it's just me and you against them. It's us against them because they're crazy. They're not going to drive us crazy. So we shut it down. We go to we're always in AC. Okay. That's my getaway, my go-to getaway.
Right, we'll quick be 2-hour
drive.
We're going
I
back.
Love it down there. Just we just go there and just chill. Not even, you know, casino, whatever. Just kind of sometimes.
Because I'm not a gambler.
Yeah,
but I just like to be there.
Yeah. And, listen, sometimes you want to turn up, you turn up. You
that's
know?
Right. Yes. That's right.
Okay.
We were just there.
We love AC too.
Yeah. It's just a good getaway. But we definitely travel a lot. We love the beach. We love the Caribbean.
Yes.
Matter of fact, we're going to Panama next month. This is April, right? This month, we're going to Panama.
Oh, good. Yeah.
My best friend is from Panama.
Yeah. My wife's family's from Panama. Mom and dad were from Panama.
Okay.
Panama. And, you know, this year alone, we Bahamas, Jamaica. We did St. Lucia last year. We did a lot.
Okay.
You know, we travel, we go out, we have fun, we laugh.
Yes.
If you're around me, we're going to laugh. Okay. That's just.
Yeah.
So I grew up, we actually rubbed off on each other. Like, I've picked up some of her traits and she's picked some of mine. So now she's a bit of a class clown too sometimes. But it's good to laugh
it
together
is.
And,
it
and
is.
Have 100%. Fun. We actually have fun. In any given night, we'll just go in the basement, rock out some karaoke, and call. You know, start
fun. Okay.
Whatever it is, we'll just have a good time. We
that
love concerts.
Great.
Yeah,
she loves MJB. So whenever Mary's doing something, we're probably there.
Yeah.
Okay. Me, I'm more like Wu-Tang. So
wherever
they at,
you have to. That's you repping repping the
borough.
Got you.
So just have a lot of fun together. Just grow together. We've grown. We've been together since 20 and 21.
Right.
So we're, something now.
How familiar does that sound?
Together. Yeah, we've been together since 19. I met him when I was 19. Yeah.
So you grow up together.
Exactly. You grow up together.
Life together. And that's a beautiful thing to be able to do that.
It is a beautiful thing. I agree. Yeah. Totally.
So let me ask you this, because I'm loving that. And I like what you said. It's us against the kids.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely.
So what do you think are the greatest lessons that you have now breathed down into your children, because they've had the ability to see your grandparents, which is your parents.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now they've watched their mom and dad as they are now trying to get themselves established. What do you think that you have given them so that they can kind of launch out into the world on their own?
Right. The one thing, growing up with both parents, that's a rare thing, right? That was rare
in the black generation. Boy.
So, one, just having that example and living with that and actually being a part of an actual, you know, a mom and dad situation.
Yes.
You know, sometimes actually caught flack for that. Oh, your parents are married, blah, blah, blah. Like, bro, you mad at me? Like,
just because you don't know your daddy.
Yeah. having my pops there to, like, set the tone, right, of the house, the structure, the order. And I just wanted to be like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just watching him, I was like, I'm going to be a dad. I'm going to be like, what he's doing. And that, you know, just watch, because your children watch you.
100%.
And they're going to do what they see you do more than what you tell them.
Yes,
absolutely.
You know what I mean? And, and just having that example was great. Watching him, his work ethic, can't touch that to this day. His sense of humor, I got a lot of that from him, for sure. His leadership, like he was, when he was leading in EMS, you know, his guys loved him, and I wanted to be that kind of a leader, and I always admired that. He would come and tell stories about how there was a big scene, and he was in charge, and then the chief came, and told him he could do a better job. Like, I used to love those stories and wanted to kind of live up to that. So that, definitely. I hope that answered your question.
No, it did.
Kids are watching you doing it, so they have no excuse to go off the rails if they go hard left. And then they look at you and like give you that, no, you know, because I've showed you what you're supposed to do.
Right. And then as far as lessons, I would say, once again, like my dad would teach me just basic stuff. Like in our house, you wasn't cursing in my house. You're not saying the N-word. That was worse than a curse to him. You would never refer to
another person.
Correct. He didn't play that and kind of live by that. Laying down the law, having to talk, you know, as far as a young black man, things you can and can't do.
Yeah,
I've had
boy.
Those discussions with my dad, and most of the times I listen. Sometimes I still got, you know, a little trouble.
Gotta be just a little.
Yeah, you gotta test the waters, but it was, I had those lessons that a lot of my friends didn't get.
Yes.
So I avoided a lot of missteps and drama that a lot of guys I grew up with probably didn't either get those lessons. So, you know, you have that, and there's a value to that, obviously, having that family structure. And I have my boys see my family, you know, me and their mom, we're tight like that and how we operate.
Yes.
So you can only hope, you can only teach your children, you know, and pour into them as much as you can, but at some point,
they gotta go.
You gotta let them go, and then hopefully that kicks in.
Yes, I'm so grateful
about that. And
they take that
with them.
So,
yeah, hopefully.
And one more thing, because we do know your family in that sense. I don't know if you have siblings. Do you have siblings?
Yes. Do I have siblings?
Yes.
Yes, I have two brothers, Lamont and Basui, your son-in-law.
My son-in-law.
I'm just giving them a hard time.
I know you're giving him a hard time.
My former rap partner.
We're going to talk about that. We ain't leaving this podcast until we talk about that, because we be getting on Basui about that. We're going to talk about that.
why are we going to break his chops like that?
We're going to talk about that.
No, I like the dynamic between the three of you. That's why I wanted to just say that, because what I see when I first met you, so I'm just giving you the first impressions. Obviously, I could see you were the oldest, and I said, okay, he's the bona fide leader of the crew because he's the oldest. Lamont is my guy. Lamont is, y'all don't understand. Lamont is funny.
I was going to say, I think Lamont's pretty funny.
He is hilarious, okay?
Yeah.
I love to see him with his family because he is just straight funny. And then the crazy thing is, Basui being the baby, he seemed to be the more serious one.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, he's got this, like, serious mindset.
Yeah.
He was a militant. He used to.
Yeah.
So how was it growing up with your siblings in the household?
All right. So in the household, as little boys, right, Lamont, the middle brother, always stayed in trouble. Always.
I don't find that hard to believe.
Always.
Middle kid syndrome.
Yes. Basui could do no wrong.
Because he's the baby,
he was the cute one. Like I said, by that time they were done knocking us upside the head. Okay. But we got it. Me, I was, I guess, the serious one. Like I said, the class clown, always got in trouble because I couldn't sit still in class.
Okay.
Never paying attention. How many times I got punished for my report card would say does not pay attention? Like, yo, oh man.
Yeah.
I still remember those days. And my mom's be like, wait till your father get home. I got to wait 2 hours
for
your
father
get home.
Yep.
I'm in the room crying. Oh, man. He comes home. She's telling him. Then he's, let me go. He comes to the back, and the rest was history. couldn't do that today. But, it was interesting in our house. As we got older, so teenage years, I kind of wasn't home. I went to prep school, went to a boarding school.
Oh, okay.
So I was kind of out of the house for like three of the major teenage years for them.
Yep.
And then when I came home, that's when Basui and I, we love hip hop. We were, you know, we kind of just got into this music thing together, which is pretty cool. Lamont, on the other hand, we're all actually very creative.
Yes.
Because he does films. He was doing films for a while.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
Yeah,
he's an incredible, artist, like drawing.
Yeah.
That boy, he can draw.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
I got to talk to Lamont then about doing some illustrations.
Yeah, he's really, really, really talented with that as well.
Okay.
He's the eccentric one, if that's to put a tag on it.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
It's all right to be eccentric.
No, I like that because it helps frame fill out the picture of how you guys grow up. Because the crazy thing about y'all is, you know, it's a lot of testosterone. Like, y'all really had no girls until Lamont's daughter and now Naomi.
Right.
Everything is all male-driven in your house.
Danielle,
so that's another
Naomi.
Reason
that's
for,
right,
you know, the strictness that mom and dad would have to put down because they were raising boys.
That's right, all boys. That's right.
And I we were all scrawny, scrawny boys with big heads. Yeah, we got teased a lot. Y'all think what they call bullying today? Like, oh,
tell them
what we went through. Man, listen.
Would they be up on charges
were cruel
today? What they did to us.
You couldn't be skinny, a skinny kid on a block. Yeah. Oh man! But that is where, like,
you developed.
I learned the toughness.
Yeah,
and
man.
The sense of humor actually kicked in because, all right, back in the day, people would rag on you, right? And I used to take it and cry. And one day, somebody was bothering me, and I just went off, right? And everybody was just dying laughing. And from that day on,
I
was killing everybody. Like, people,
like
people would bring people from their block to come and battle. Like, take them all out. Like, I'll rank you out.
I love it.
And but that's how I got. Like, I wasn't a fighter, right? I'm too skinny to fight, so I wasn't really a fighter. But, you know, if you need me to insult you, I'll tear you up.
So what do they call that? Playing the dozens?
Yeah, ranking.
Snapping
on you.
Snapping. I forgot
right,
that
so,
one. Yeah.
Yeah, snapping on you. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
And
so you
I had a big
expert.
Mouth, so you know me.
Yeah.
I was that same cat.
Yeah,
and
I was reckless.
It was funny, too. And I used to play ball, and this was my favorite thing. You know, always talking trash on the court, but most people talking trash on the court.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Your boy did his research. I found out your mama's name, your daddy name, your girlfriend, where you live.
Right.
And boy, when I start recognizing your boys on the team, I was that dude. Mm-hmm. And people looking, they want to fight when you get to that point. If you want to fight me, you're off your game.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I was that dude.
He's still quick-witted like that. he's still.
With no filter sometimes.
You know, no filter. And I tell people all the time, you guys only get him for like the few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You getting mad.
That's what my wife says.
You getting mad after 10 minutes, 15 mm-hmm. minutes. I got to live with this man.
Yes.
I got to hear this all day long. Yes. I mean, he insults me so many times. It's just like, I just literally just.
That's love, baby.
I just throw my hands up and say, Jesus, take the wheel. Because I'm going to hurt him. Okay. It's funny, though. But.
So what are you looking for in your future? Because you said you left a job that seemed to be very demanding and was, taking away a lot of your time. Mm-hmm. So you kind of, like all of us, will split ourselves to do mm-hmm. multiple things.
Right.
But now you seem to have this school passion, mm-hmm. and it seems like it's driving you in a focus. And now you're getting older up in your age. So what are you looking for, and what are you building for the future?
Yeah, where are you leading to?
So I'm getting to... I would love to be in a position where I don't have to work for someone else and I can kind of do what I want to do, right? So what I mean by that is I am working on something.
Mm-hmm. You got
to
spill the beans, passion. But as long as you know
yeah.
you're working
no,
on
no,
it.
Yeah, no, but a passion that I've developed is actually like mentoring, mm-hmm. coaching people. Mm. And it's what I'm, a lot of what I'm studying is along like the consulting type of thing and mentoring, coaching, professional coaching. So
okay.
You know, and that kind of came organically. Like throughout the years, young people would come to me for advice at work.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
One of the coolest things, people would look me up on LinkedIn and ask if they could be my intern. I'm like, what is this? I never heard of it, right? So I actually got one approved. One young lady was actually my intern for a semester.
Okay.
Employees would shadow me for their school project. So it became a thing. Like, I'm mm-hmm. like, this might... Maybe I'm onto something here.
I like that.
Yeah, but that was pretty cool, like, to have that. And with my youth program, I've written dozens of, like, college recommendation letters. I'd be the guy they come to for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm writing letters for people for colleges I didn't get into. I'm like, bro, you asking me to write, you know, to who? But, and they're getting in.
And they're
like,
getting
and
in.
That's a
okay.
great thing. But, yeah, I want to do something in that lane. So I'm working on something. I can't give too much now, but I definitely will when the time is right.
I like that.
Teaching is in my future for sure. I'm very close to Hofstra.
I thought that's what you were doing because I could just feel that in you. So I actually thought that's what you were doing.
Yeah, I have a great relationship with Hofstra, which is where I did my master's degree.
Okay.
I'm actually running for the president of the alumni, whatever. But
I'm just trying to join my alumni, so I feel you right there.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So I'm working very closely with them, you know, very involved over there, and definitely I can see teaching, you know, mm-hmm. in, as a part of what I do. Like I said before, I'm really active in the church as well. I do, mm-hmm. you know, do a lot with the ministry, just serving, really just serving, just wherever I fit in.
Yeah.
I do like to speak, so every now and then I'll speak, and you know, some public speaking, things mm-hmm. like that, so... You know, there's a lot coming,
a lot
brewing. Yes. I just want to get over the school thing right now. Is really what I'm kind of. That's the 75% of my time right now is with that.
Yep.
But yeah, like I said, I got some trips coming up and some fun as well. Good. But this time I'm going to kind of control the narrative a little more.
I love that.
Than, you know, the employers controlling whatever.
I like it.
Yeah, man.
I like it. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, I'll be glad when I'm not working for somebody, too.
It's all right, man.
I got to get my succession planning going.
There you go. Know what I'm exactly.
Right, so we're coming up on
our hour?
We got about 54 minutes, so we can go another hard 5 minutes with some good conversation.
So, I mean, were you nervous coming here?
No, you didn't seem like you was nervous.
I was just saying. So you didn't seem like you was nervous. So what do you think? I mean, like,
this is great. I can't believe it's an hour already.
Everybody says that because we make everybody feel so at home that you know.
And you get to speak about yourself.
Exactly.
Because tell us about you, because this helps open up the doors not just for us but for the listening audience out there.
A lot of times people don't like to talk about themselves, so when they sit in here, they'll be like, I don't even know what to say. Mm-hmm. But then by the time we finish. With you, you done told us your whole life story. Exactly. And you did it happily, too.
Yes, we didn't have to hit him with the IV.
No, you did it happily. That's a good thing. We definitely enjoy having you here, and we got to bring you back, especially when you start to get back into.
Yes. Yeah, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have to see more of you because we literally are family.
Yes, I agree with that.
You know what I'm saying?
And that's one thing with my newfound free time.
Yes.
I've been working on seeing people that I didn't really get to spend a lot of time with, visiting family, friends.
Yes.
And that's definitely something I'm getting better at. So,
that's
absolutely.
That's a beautiful.
I got nephews out here. You know what I mean? My niece, my nephews.
Yes.
So,
my new word is intentional. Mm-hmm. You hear people say it all the time, and the pandemic has made me become intentional.
Yes.
Prior to that, I was like random like everybody else. Now, I'm like, nope, that's what we're doing. Let's make it happen. When? Okay. What about this date? Yeah. I'm that dude. Like, we got to make it happen.
Definitely.
That is definitely true.
Got to.
So you want to tell them the funny story about this podcast?
You mean how I got the date wrong?
Yes, please.
Well, it was all on me. In my head, I knew we said the 6th.
Mm-hmm.
But for whatever the reason, I thought the 6th was on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And so I never checked it again. I just kept saying Sunday the 6th, Sunday the 6th. And even though when I put it on the calendar... on the 7th, it was still in my mind, Sunday the 6th.
Mm-hmm.
So I was so glad when you called yesterday, all excited. Are we still on? I'm like, is that tomorrow or is that Sunday? He's like, it's tomorrow. Are we still on? I'm like, oh, yeah, we still on. Then I text Al. I said, oops, I made a mistake. So the podcast is not Sunday. It's Saturday. But we wasn't doing anything.
Well,
so.
But this was luck of the draw because what happens with, you and your wife, too. You know how your schedules are.
Mm-hmm.
So a classic example is the one you did with that... the lady.
Yes.
So that podcast was supposed to be an original date. She couldn't make it, broke the date. Then it was moved to a different date. And she keeps everything on the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Now she sent me the email with the new date. Now, of course, I'm used to email coming from her one bucket. This came from another bucket.
Okay.
So because I put everything on my calendar.
Right.
All of a sudden, Wednesday, my boy said he's going to be up on a Thursday. We get together. He's coming from Delaware. I said, no, I can't do Thursday because I think that night we went out.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, well, I have to come up Friday because I got to go see, somebody up here in the nursing home. Mm-hmm. I said, well, Friday works for me. So I told her that Wednesday. Then Thursday about that night, she says, oh, don't forget, we got the podcast tomorrow. I'm like, what podcast? I'm like, pull my phone up. I'm like, no. I said,
It was on the calendar. Yes, it was.
No, it was not. It was,
Never mind.
On the calendar.
Okay.
Because I walked by it. If I'd have saw it on the calendar, I would have said something.
It wasn't on the wall calendar.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
But it was on the invite calendar.
That's what I'm saying. It came from the different email address. Yeah. That's why I didn't look at it. I don't put those dates on my calendar. When people send you those invites, I don't put them on. I type them in myself. I don't use the Google and put it on my calendar.
Yeah.
Forget that. I type it myself.
See the energy?
Yeah. Yes.
It's like,
so
always.
What had to happen is I wasn't available.
Mm-hmm.
So I went out and hung out with my boys, but thankfully she reached out to one of our homegirls who's up here right now. She's in Florida.
Yeah.
But she's up here right now. She's my birthday 10. We share the same birthday.
Okay.
So she stepped in and pinched hit for us.
Oh, nice.
And it worked well.
Yeah, excellent. I called her like an hour before the podcast. I'm like, Marilyn, would you like to do a podcast with me? She's like, what I got to do? It's like, it's going to be cool. You know, people scared to get on the mic. No, you know, man. I'm like, it's going to be cool. We're going
to
be cool.
But that's why we try to coordinate to make sure. And obviously, you know, I ain't missing this one.
No,
you know, I'll be on this one, you know.
Absolutely.
So, and I told her, I'm never missing. It's
going
to take something to make me miss. I'll never miss on purpose.
It was just, you know, the the anxiety of the wedding, and I just was crazy.
Congratulations on the wedding.
Yeah. Yes, a lot going on.
Yeah. But it's all good.
We can't wait to get through and just move through. You got Key's birthdays next week.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Here she comes.
Oh, is it next week?
Yes,
oh,
it's
Lord.
Next week. We got
what's
the date
doing?
Night.
She hiking?
You know, she said this is, I think for the last 2 years, she's not doing the hike on her birthday.
She's not? Okay.
Yes, because she always did the birthday hike. And the last, she said because she has actual clients that have booked her for hikes. Okay. So I said, well, why don't you just take that thing? She said, it's their hike. I'm like, but it's your birthday. Right. But she's good. She'll good. Be all right.
Yeah,
so.
I think she's going to do something for herself. Yeah. I think she's going to go to the spa or something
just
like
to
that,
relax.
Which is really good, yeah.
But let's give you an opportunity. If there's anything you felt like we kind of missed, you want to get some closing thoughts out to the audience, something to just give them a little bit of just to close yourself out.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, one, thanks again. This was great. I really enjoyed the
Not
combo.
A problem.
We enjoyed you too.
Yeah, this is awesome. Listen, I would just say go after whatever it is you want to do, don't talk yourself out of it. Because I forget the exact quote, but I know pretty much 75% of what we hear is our own voice, and 90% of what we say to ourselves is negative. Mm-hmm. So all you hear is your own self-doubt all the time. Mm-hmm. Don't doubt yourself. Don't worry about what other people are going to say. Just go and do it. Like when I tell certain people, hey, I'm going back for my doctorate. Oh, why are you going to do that? Why do you care? Because I want to be a doctor. I don't know.
That's the question. You know, why do you care?
But whenever you tell somebody, you got to protect yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
Protect your dream, because somebody will try to shoot it down.
Yes.
And for no reason. Like there's no other reason to say something to say something like that
it's
to someone who's trying. Not instead of saying, "Hey, that's great. You're trying to do something else." Mm-hmm. Ew, why would you want to do that?
Yeah.
So, and I've heard that on a couple of things. And if you know anything about me, if you tell me I can't do something,
I'm the same way.
That's the worst thing. I'm gonna make
that's
you eat those words.
That's a guarantee that I'm gonna do it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that fuels me up anyway.
Yeah.
But a lot of people get discouraged. Don't. You know, we beat ourselves up. Don't beat yourself up.
Okay.
And bet on yourself.
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 I like that.
We're going to leave with bet on yourself.
Absolutely.
Because I want you to bet on yourself. Because AJ and I, we certainly bet on ourselves,
all
right?
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
Yes. So you've been listening to Real Talk with Real People, a candid conversation with, in our special segment of Living Your Best Life with AJ and Caroline. We're here all the time, living our best life. I don't care when you find us, we're going to be living our best life. So our special guest today was Bernard Robinson. I'm so grateful that he has taken a seat next to us, and we had a great time. We had great fun. So if you would like to sit in the hot seat, we want you to come. Come join us for another edition of Living Your Best Life with Caroline and AJ.
Bye.